studying about Jesus the firstborn. The Bible says about him in Colossians 1:15 that he is the firstborn of every creature. What does that mean? He wasn't literally born before every. But again, really what that's telling us, that he is God. He is before all things. If you read that scripture, he is before all things. So really that's a deity scripture. And we study a little bit about image and likeness. And then we're going to study that he's the firstborn among many brethren. And we're going to study sonship and the incarnation. And those are the four topics we were going to cover. So tonight, it's going to be a little bit about sonship, though I really won't get there because I'm not going to hold you a long time. But I want to point out something that I think is quite deep, interesting. It's 1:12, it should be. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I'm going to point out something to you that's interesting about this verse and the verses that come after it. So what is sonship? What is sonship? What does it mean to be a son of God? Well, don't all tell me at once. To be a joint heir? How do you become a son? Well, there's two ways to become a son, isn't there? What are the two ways you can join a family? Right, you can be adopted or you can be born, right? Those are the two ways to join a family, is to be adopted or to be born. And there are many families who have adopted children who never knew their birth, the original birth parents, and the bond is as strong as any natural-born child. But there is a difference in adoption and being born. What would be the difference? What would be the difference? Even though in both cases you're a son or a daughter, what would be the difference between being born and adopted? Nobody? Okay. That's right. You have the same genetics. I wonder if you could turn this down. I'm a little bit loud or something is feeding back. Okay, you have the same genetics. So you can be a son and adopted in, but yet you're not going to have the same genetics. You're not going to have the same blood. So although that bond is strong, it doesn't carry the same genetics. And I want to make that distinction tonight. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Mattat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph. And it goes back and back 70 names, all the way back to Adam. And it picks up in verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And that always, when I read that, it always touches me. What made Adam a son of God? Was he adopted? He was created, right? I mean, all of you parents who have children, raise their hand. Can you remember looking at your baby, your newborn baby, and thinking, wow, that's part of me? Can you remember that? I think most parents go to that. You hold that baby and say, wow. This little thing has part of me. That's where the difference between adoption, and I'm not knocking adoption, and being born really comes in. Now there is an adoption and there is being born. But Adam was not adopted. The Bible says, which was the Son of God. He was created, as we always say, Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, in God's image. So sonship, true sonship, not only has that family relationship, but it has more. It has that blood relationship, right? The child always, to test paternity, what do? It's your son. Blood test. The judge orders a blood test to prove. What's that daytime show they're always? What's his name? Okay. And the guy can deny it all he wants, but it's in the blood, right? It's in the genetics. It's in the blood. So Adam was not adopted. He was created or born a son of God. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Now look at this, because I'm going to show you scriptures that talk about adoption, that we are predestined to adoption. And then there are scriptures that talk about being born. And I want to show you something interesting. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We're going to come back to that. The Bible says in Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba. Okay, so we see two things here, or we're going to see two things develop. The Bible, some scriptures talk about being adopted into sonship, and some talk about being born into sonship. Sonship. Is there a difference? Is there a point that the scripture is trying to make here? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, which means Father. Amen. Let's go on. So sonship is about a relationship. When you're a son, it means you're related, right? No? Can a stranger walk up to you and ask you for money? Well, they can, but you're not probably going to, you're probably not going to respond too well. Especially if they come up to you and say, Mommy. You know, a 30-year-old man were to come up to you and say, Mommy, can I have some money? Now, in my case, that could happen, but most of you, that can't happen. Right? So, sonship is a relationship term. It means that there is a connection. There is a connection there. Now, Jesus, when he was speaking to the Pharisees, pointed out that some people belong to the wrong family. They're in the wrong family. John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. So there's some family characteristics. Are you listening? If you're in a certain family, you can take on certain characteristics of that family because that's all you see them do, right? If you were raised in a certain family, you may take on, if all your parents do is cuss and swear, you may think it nothing to cuss and swear, right? In this case, Jesus made a point. He says, you're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, and I'll be teaching about deception, I will, because there is no truth in him. I really like that picture. Do you see what it says? Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Every time the angel came in the Old Testament to bring a message, what was the first thing the angel said? Fear not, because fear is a liar. That's one of his greatest deceptions, is to get us afraid. And it can happen to all of us. It happened to the great prophet Elijah. He had just witnessed a great miracle. God had sent down fire from heaven and burned up the sacrifice. And then Jezebel said, well, I'm gonna kill you. And what did Elijah do? He ran out into the desert. He did not stand up to her. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now, talking about relationship. So if we are in the family of God, we need to start to take on the family characteristics, right? We shouldn't be out there brawling and arguing and as much as our flesh would like to. Because if you're in a certain, if you're the queen's son, I'm going to be a bit gross here. You can't actually be caught picking your nose. That would never do. And every time you're out in public, there's a camera on you. You know, you can't scratch anywhere or do anything. Because you're in that royal family. And they're trained. They grow up so used to it that, you know, they know which fork to use, which knife to use, you know, cut the peas up. When I first came here, I could clean off a plate with never touching anything, because that was how I was raised in England, to use a knife and fork. You know, it could be finger licking good, but that wasn't going to be. I could clean that bone off perfectly with a knife and fork. I probably still can. There is no truth in him when he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So sonship, first of all, is a relationship to a family. And if you're part of that family, then you're supposed to behave differently. So the question is, who is your father? Who is your father? Because even if you're adopted in, that's one thing, you still get the title sonship. But if you're born, that's even more, because not only do you have the title sonship, but you should have some DNA. You should have some blood connection there, right? So there's a sonship by adoption, and the scripture talks about that. It said, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's Galatians 4:5. Galatians 4:5. Again, Ephesians 1:5, I read this before, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God has predestined that the whole world could be adopted, right? He says, many are called, but few are chosen. I'm trying to point out something here, that the adoption to be a son is open to everyone. But you have to go beyond just being adoption. That's the point I'm making. If you are born, then there is a stronger bond than just adoption. Because you know what happens? If you have children, they're going to have the blood. They're going to continue in the bloodline. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So there is a sonship that's by adoption, and then there is the new birth. Some people, all they get to is to be adopted, and they don't go all the way to being born again. There's many people who go to churches and believe God to a certain amount, and they understand to a certain depth, and they believe that they're children of God. They have understood a certain amount. They worship and they do according to, you know, they're like the disciples of John, so to speak. And there is an adoption. But as I'm trying to point out, there's something much stronger than adoption sonship. There is the being born. So that's why Adam was not adopted. He didn't come from some other family, right? You ever heard your mother? All right, I shouldn't put it that. My mother used to say to me, when she was joking, I hope, man, I wonder if they swapped you at birth, because I never did that. How could you do that? She would make that joke. She'd say, I wonder if they swapped you at birth, because that wasn't how I taught you. Man. Right? Am I the only one your mother used to say that? Did they swap you at birth? Because why are you behaving that way? See, when you're born into the family, you're supposed to be like your parents, right? And I look in the mirror and I really can kind of see my dad's face now, you know, as he got older. Oh, well. So there's an adoption. And everyone is predestinated. God's plan was that everyone see that they could become sons. But that's not the end of it. There is the new birth. John 1:12 says, starts off, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's a process to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's a process. And some people stop at the adoption. They don't get to the new birth. Let's look at this. You see, you must be born again. What is more powerful, as I said, adoption or actually being born? Right? There's no doubt, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Because adoption is a legal process. Adoption is a legal process. But being born is much more than just a legal process, because there is a blood connection. Do you see what I'm saying? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, here's the verse that I'm going to really focus on that I'm sure you've read, but maybe you've not studied. And it has three things in here, three ways you cannot go from being an adopted son to be a born son. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here it's laying out that there are, you can't be born again through blood. And I'm going to highlight this. Three ways that won't work. Not, and actually in the Hebrew, the word is in plural. It's really not of bloods. I'm going to explain why it's in plural. Not of bloods. Not the will of the flesh, and not the will of the man. And I'm going to go into these in detail. I'm not going to keep you long. Now, when it says not of bloods, the Jews believed that they had sonship. Why? By right. Why? Why did they think they had sonship? Because of Abraham. And what it's saying when not of bloods, it's meaning not of the bloodline. We are not born again because my father was pastor. I'm not born again because my father was pastor here. Right? It's not because of our bloodline. John 8:53. Here's the Jews claiming that. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? They claimed the bloodline. They just default said, okay, we're it because of Abraham, which is dead. See, you can be adopted, but if you're going to be born, it's not going to be by bloodline. Not by human bloodline, which is dead, and the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Matthew 3:9 says, and think not to say to yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, which is what the Jews said. Listen, we're superior. We're superior. We by right are righteous. We are by right God's children just because of bloods. And what that scripture was trying to say in John, no, it's not because of bloods. You can't be born again. You can be predestined to be adopted, but there's still something missing unless you get to the birth part, unless you're born again. We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So, we can't go by our bloodline. And many people go to the same church just because their family's always been there. And they believe just that's how they inherit eternal life, just going to church on Sunday. But the scripture was saying, no, not because of bloods. That means not because of the bloodline. Let's look at the second negative. It says, not the will of the flesh. Not the will of the flesh. Now, this is interesting. All the births that God sent someone special, the people didn't really have a choice about it per se. Mary, did she say, choose me? No. It wasn't her will that she was chosen by God. Luke 1:34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man. It wasn't a human decision. She didn't decide. Maybe many of us have children we didn't decide. Right? Mary did not decide. Well, we did decide. We may not have wanted children, but we did decide. That's why You know, when they say pro-life, pro-choice, there was a choice made. It's not like they had no choice. A choice was made. And once you've made that choice, you have to live with the consequences. You can't, after the choice, say, no, I don't want the choice now. It wasn't like that was a virgin birth. In Mary's case, that was really, she didn't have a choice in the sense that, I guess she could have said, no, I don't want this. But she said, according to thy word. But you see that she was chosen. She didn't go saying, choose me. It was not a result of her human decision to be the receptor. The same thing with, can you name someone else who had, name some people who had special children in the Bible. Hannah, who did she have? Samuel, right? Now, did she know Samuel was going to turn out into such a great prophet? No. All she knew is that she wanted to have children. Name someone else who had anyone else in the Bible who had Sarah. In fact, yeah. Sarah's a good one because the Lord said, Thou shalt call his name Isaac, just as the angel declared. Anyone else? There were several. Elizabeth. Now, did any of those people expect it would happen that way? No. What I'm saying is, being born again is God first choosing us, and then us being receptive. That's why Jesus said when he came to Jerusalem, he said, and he wept. He looked at Jerusalem and he wept. Why did he weep? Do you remember what he said? If they had only known the time of their visitation, that was their chance to really, really accept him. And he wept because they missed it. See, I believe God gives people a chance. And sometimes they miss the time of their visitation. So we see that it's not you can't be born again. You can be in the adoption, you can be a believer, but you can't be born again because you decide to be. It's not the result of a human decision. The initial reaching out comes from God. Look at this. John 15:16. But ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, if all of us in here tonight really believed that, if we really believed that was God who chose us, just as he chose Mary to receive something that was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, if we believe that, we'd be really excited. I'm not here because I happen to just stumble into this position, but God chose you. If you really believe that, if you start to think about that and meditate, God, you chose me. Therefore, you have a plan for me. Therefore, you have a path, a direction for me to go in. I am yours. This is not an accident. Things may not be working out right now. I may have no prospects right now. I'm not the rich and mighty and high or whatever. But you chose me. That's what the scripture says. But I have chosen you. See, it's not the result of a human decision initially. Now we have to respond to that choice. But we were chosen, the Bible says, by him, that he should go forth and bring forth fruit. Why were we chosen? Not just to be chosen, but to go forth and bring forth fruit. Okay, what does that mean? You've been chosen to go forth, to go and bring forth fruit. What does that mean, Philip? Do his work? What does do his work mean? Okay, Malcolm. Okay. All right. Spread the good news. Okay, so are we doing what he chose us to do? How many people in the last month, let's expand it to a month, have you said, can I pray for you? I'd like to invite you to church that you've given a card to. Good. All right, a few people. But that's what he chose us to do. So if we haven't been doing that, we've been falling down on the job. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that then he goes on to say, and then whatsoever he shall ask of the Father in my name, you see, when you do his business, he'll do your business. Right? Look at the order of this verse. He said, I've chosen you and ordained you to go forth and bring forth much fruit. Then, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We get that out of order. We start asking God first before we've done brought forth any fruit or even tried to go in the vineyard, let alone bring some fruit. We don't even want to go in the garden. Amen. We shouldn't let a week, and I'm going to be really focusing on that in this year to come, of growth for Rehoboth. And the only way that's going to happen is if each of us fulfill this scripture. This scripture is a test of whether you have been called. Because there's more ministry out there than in here. In fact, that's where the real ministry, this is just encouragement when we gather here. The true ministry is out there. Because we are supposed to bring many sons. That's what the scripture says. He, Jesus, brought many sons to glory. That's what firstborn is. We should give birth if we're alive, right? That your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name. So the second one is, it's not the result of a human decision. The next thing, not the will of man. Now you think, well, what's the difference between the two things? It says not the will of the flesh, and then it says not the will of man. Okay, so it's making a distinction between the will of the flesh. That means you can't be born, or one interpretation is, it's not a human birth thing. It's not a man and a woman get together, you know, flesh. No, that's not how you're born again. That's what Nicodemus thought, right? He said to Jesus, can a man enter again into his mother's womb? He was really puzzled by this birth. How do you get sonship? Jesus said, no, but you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And it's not the will of man. It's not something, I can't make myself be good enough. Paul explained that. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, into the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. In this flesh, we are still going to say and do things that we should not. But that's why we have to mortify the flesh, the Bible says. So it's not a question of my will. If I just try and get up and say, I'm going to be perfect this week, I'm not going to make a single mistake, I'm going to pray 24 hours, and I'm going to be holy. I'm just going to walk about and be holy. That's me being holy. It won't happen. It's, you see, let me go back to what this was about, because you may have lost it. Three ways that you cannot be born into the family. Not of your descent, not of bloods, not because your choice, and not because the will, you decided to do it. Those three ways won't work. There's only one way to be born into this family. And it's in John. It goes on to say that those that believe in his name, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And that not only can we be adopted, but we can go one step further. The adoption is when we first come to Christ. But you know what? We still don't have the DNA. We're still got the fleshly DNA. But when we're born again, the Bible says if you are born of the seed from Christ, then you get to the place where you're not committing sin. That is, you're not living in sin, right? You're not staying in a place of sin all the time, right? This flesh will still mess up, but you're not, as I've said many times, buying the gun and tracking the person. You're not doing things deliberately. You're not trying to hold hurt and hate in your heart. Because the Bible says if you're born of God in John, it says you cannot sin in the sense of living in a state, a place of sin all the time. We have Abram to our father, they said, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So tonight, what I wanted to give to you is there's a difference between adoption. Because adoption, yes, you have the name of sonship, but you still don't have the DNA. Right? How do you get the DNA? So there are many, many good people who believe in Christ, right? They believe in Christ, but they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. They believe in the adoption of sons, but they haven't got the DNA, and that's the difference. You have to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Let me get back to where I was. 1 Peter 1:3, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. That's how we become sons of God, not just the adoption. Because I've heard of some adopted parents who did change their mind. You never heard of that? I've heard of adoptive parents. They adopted these children from Russia, and then they sent them back. But you know, as much as your children may get on your nerves, there's nothing you can do about your children that have been born to you. There's nothing you can do. You may not speak to them, but they will always still be got your blood. Isn't that true? You know, I look at my brother's daughters, and they've got his DNA. There's no doubt about it, right? There's no doubt whose children those are. Because what? They grow to look like the father. We should be growing to look. That's the test. Are we just adopted or are we truly born again? Do you get what I'm saying tonight? This is all about being firstborn. Once we have been truly born again, some of those things that were different about us will start to change. We won't be the first one at the fight. We won't be the first one wanting to party all night. We'll be saying, what can I do, Father, to please you? Isn't that what Jesus said? I do nothing but what I see my Father does. That's what I'm doing. I only came to do the works that my Father wants, right? And once we start to grow into that family, people will look at us. You know, they can look at when I was growing up and say, aren't you Bishop Brownie's son? Because they could see a resemblance. You look like, wouldn't that be great if someone says, you look like your father, your heavenly father. That's what they're supposed to be saying. You look like a true Christian. You're walking just like I believe a Christian should. That's what people should say about us. Because if we've passed the stage of just adoption, that is, we have the name of son, but we're still not behaving like we're part of the family. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You can stand. I told you I was going to be short. 8 o'clock. Amen. And we're going to be teaching some more on this because we had a whole month of being born again. But I wanted you to understand there's a difference. Lots of people claim the adoption. And they've got the name. But they don't have the blood. They don't have the change. They don't have the DNA. We want to go beyond just the adoption papers. We need to be born again, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. When you get to that line, it gives me goosebumps. It really does, because I think about how God looked down upon him as his son. The Bible says that Jesus was the second man Adam, the second man Adam. God wants us to not just stay at adoption and have the name, but have the characteristics. Man, he looks like his father. She looks like her mother. That's when you know you've gone beyond adoption and you've gone into genetics. You've gone into the blood. The Bible says having our hearts sprinkled with the blood. See, we have to go beyond just coming in here and saying we have the name, but we have to be truly reflective of the family. Amen. So I hope tonight you've seen a difference. That yes, there are scriptures that talk about being adopted into the family. I want to be more than adopted. I want to be more than adopted. I want to have the blood characteristics. I want when people look at me and say, man, I wouldn't have done that. You really behave like you know Jesus. Amen. Because if you're not, you can have the name and the papers that say you are part of the family. But that's not as strong as when you have the blood. We need to keep on going because this is a process. To them gave he power to become. I hope tonight that we are striving to become the sons of God because he has called us to a high calling. He says, you have not chosen me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should bring forth much fruit. Let's really make a pledge that when we go into the new year, we won't let a week go by before we invite someone to church. Ask them if they need a prayer. Give them a card. Because if we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling our calling. And it's not about the growth of this church. Maybe they live far away. Send them to a different church. Doesn't matter because we're all one church anyway. Amen? But we are supposed to fulfill our calling if we've been called and chosen. And we're supposed to start to look like our Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you've understood the difference between just being adopted. See, when you are born, there's nothing they can do about that. You're always going to carry that blood. Hallelujah. That's how strong the bond is. That we are not just adopted. We're predestined to be adopted, but we need to go on to being born. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you will anoint it, that it will seek into our spirit, Lord, and oh God, edify our soul, that we will meditate. Father, that you have given us the power to become sons of God, daughters of your kingdom. Lord, we just thank you right now that you didn't just stop at adoption, but you prepared the way that we could be born anew. Hallelujah. To take on your characteristics, to be sealed with your spirit. Lord, we ask that an anointing follow us this week. Let your Holy Spirit go before and just surround us in every aspect of our lives. Give us a zeal, Lord God, that we will fulfill the command to bring forth much fruit. We thank you right now. We lift up our hands and give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Amen.